Welcome to the Front Row Back Row podcast presented by Physiogrowth. We're your hosts, Brian, who scaled a PT practice from the trunk of his car to six locations, and Owen, who helped lead an eight-figure exit and now runs a cash-based PT practice. This show is real conversations from owners actively building with what's working right now. All right, we are talking bad reviews, right? As the title says, we are looking and saying, man, what happens when you have bad reviews? Obviously, anybody who's a business owner knows that you want all good reviews. And if anybody's ever looked at like their competitors' reviews, I almost feel, I don't know, Brian, what do you say? But like, I feel like if you're not like a 4.8 as a PT or like less, I don't know. I don't want to say anything. I don't know what your reviews are in your clinics, but yeah. I always feel like there's always a wiggle room for like insurance, you know, everyone being all angry and stuff. But yeah. I feel like it's not like, you know, restaurants with PTs. Like people eventually, they get to know you long enough. And then they do like massive paragraphs, but we're talking about bad reviews today. And we're talking about what to do if you get a bad review, right?
Yep.
Because if you're big enough, or even if you've just done it long enough, you're going to get a bad review. Steps to take before to avoid them, steps to take after it's been done, right? And then kind of what you can do as an owner to kind of damage control. So, Brian, I know you got six clinics. You probably yep. see, I mean, how many visits do you see in a day? Like hundreds, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Across your six clinics. So yeah, I'm sure yeah, you've seen exactly. this before.
Yeah, exactly. So I think the reality of it is look, anybody listening to this who's never gotten a bad review, you're just not big enough yet. That's all it comes down to,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
I think it's that. Because the reality is, the reality is it's next to impossible. Because I think at the end of the day, like we're all trying to do what we need to do, but people will take advantage of you. Right. And so you got to draw the barrier somewhere and you got to draw the line somewhere. And the reality is now at any moment, someone can just leave a review online and they know that's how they can snag you. Right. And they can get mm-hmm. you. And so I've had, you know, a lot of different directions. We had one this week. That's why I brought up to Owen. Let's try and talk through it a little bit. And just kind of the reality of how to handle it. I think it was handled really well because they're going to happen. And so it's one of those things where if you're listening to this and you're like, well, I don't get a bad review ever. I promise you, you're going to get one at some point if you haven't already. You just haven't gotten big enough. So and these things can hurt, by the way. They definitely can. Like, it's not one of those things where I want to sit. I wish I could say, oh, fuck that person. It's not a big deal, blah, blah, blah. But the reality is it's sitting on the internet for everybody to read and they don't go away. So the reality is that's what happened. So, yeah,
talking about bad Google reviews, right?
Yeah,
so there's different processes to follow if they call their doctor and, you know, talk badly about you or go to their country club and talk badly about you. But we're going to focus primarily on Google reviews because that seems to be the one that, you know, is the hardest to get rid of, the most public. But yeah.
Yeah. I would actually argue that the person who doesn't do the Google review that's bad mouthing you behind your back's actually way worse personally because you can't damage control that, right? You have no idea what's going on. And so I explain that to a lot of my physical therapists. I'm like, listen, you got to look and you got to think about like, hey, why did that? Like, that's your MIA. Like, I don't know where they went. Now they're ghosting me, blah, blah. It's like, well, how did they do in PT? Do you talk to them? Like, you got to look through you got to read between the lines. Like, you know, did they get better? Like, how did that work? So
let's segment that. Right? I want to stop you there because the best way of damage control is stop before the damage happens.
Yeah,
right?
For sure.
So you're saying there's kind of this like unseen negative review, right?
Yes.
Where you'll get a patient who maybe they quit after three visits or they give you kind of a BS excuse. So like, what are some things that you coach with your staff of like, or maybe some systems you have in place to kind of bring that person back into the fold? Maybe not that they get visits out of it, but to kind of say like, all right, what was your problem? How can we handle it? How can we get better? Like, do you have a system for that? Is there something you coach your therapist to do?
Yeah, great, great question. So, and again, I'm actually going to give, they should sponsor us, WebPT, so maybe there's a plug for them too. But WebPT, for those of you who are using WebPT, WebPT Reach is actually great for this. And it's the one main reason we use WebBT Reach. We pay extra for it, for exactly this component, is to catch bad reviews or what we call detractors, right? And that's just the word that's internally. So what happens with WebBT Reach is it is a CRM that essentially built into WebBT that every time that someone basically has their first visit, it ranks them, and it's twofold. It does two things. Well, it does more than two things, but these major two things for us that we look at. One is when the person has their first visit, it follows up and with a how did it go? You know, what was your experience level? Blah, blah, blah. And if someone gives a 4 or 5 star, it follows up with them. It's a whole nother sequence of automation that essentially, you know, says, oh, great, would you write us a Google review? Would you talk about this? Or blah, blah, blah. Like, would you write us a positive or negative review, right? If someone gives a 1 or 2 star review or gives something kind of a nasty feedback. And, you know, one of the things I think that's tricky, and again, like, I think one of the things that physical therapists are taught early on is how to get constructive feedback, right? How to give constructive feedback and how to take it. But not everybody's taught that, right? So the reality is, how many people give the 1 star review but then don't say anything about it? The majority. But one is when someone gives like much more constructive feedback in those reviews. It allows us to address the problem quickly. So in real time, what that allows us to do is that quote unquote detractor, if they have a 1 star, we can look it up. Hey, why do they give us the 1 star? Do they have follow-up appointments of, you know, set up? If they don't, what was the action plan? Are we calling that person? The action plan is that we're going to call that person, talk to them, and try and smooth it over, and then go from there, right? In the most
Now,
case.
would
Now,
you do that as the owner jumping right in, or would you have a conversation with the PT?
great question. So I think it depends on the context. For me, what I do typically is I talk to the physical therapist because I want to know what's going on,
I agree.
right? The first thing I want to say is like for instance, if somebody's like, well, like it could be over an insurance thing, right? And most of them are, to be honest. It could be due to something else, right? I don't know. It just depends, right? We've had some funny ones that were like, all right, these are out of our control, right? You know, and it's funny, I was actually just thinking I'll try and look one up right now. But in terms of happening amongst all of our clinics that we manage, amongst all 23 clinics across the country, you know, we get them on a semi-regular basis. I mean, look, if we have, you know, an 85 to 90% success rate, you know, 9 out of 10 for all the clinics, that's great. I mean, we have 36, almost 37,000 patients. So the reality is, if like you have, you know, 10% of those are bad, I mean, you're gonna get 3,000 bad reviews. It's tough. So the aspect is how to damage control, to your point. So a lot of
Well,
it is
and
retracting on that.
I think it's important too there, not just from a it just seems more smooth to the patient, right? The CEO isn't calling you when you give one bad review. Then it's like, oh my God, what did I say? I think it's just smoother for the patient, right? To have it come back through the PT on their follow-up visit. And then the second thing is it's going to help the PT. I mean, maybe it is something where, he didn't go over my plan of care. I have no idea what to expect. Or he didn't spend enough time discussing this with me. And that's a really good teachable moment where you can say, okay, she said this. Why didn't you see that? Right? Or he said that. What was going on in the moment? And you can fix a problem there. We've done that when I was running clinics for other people. And we would say, oh, that's a process thing. That's not the PT. That's just we didn't give them the sign-in sheet, as quickly as we could have. So we put it up front instead of waiting for a front office to hand them something. So I think that's a really good thing, especially for the first visit, to go over that.
For sure. I also think one of the things about this type of CRM that's great is it tracks based off of the therapist. And so you can also get better. Like, you know, some of our a great example, like some of the biggest you know, when you see some of these types of like for me, when I see something about over fees or over some sort of insurance thing, blah, blah, it's like, all right, well, like what's control, what's not control, let's get context. Was it
And that's why I said
explained?
at the beginning, 4.8 is pretty good, especially if you take insurance, because a lot, I mean, I remember with us, almost a majority of our negative complaints were they charge my deductible. And it's like, sorry, I guess. Like, I don't know.
Exactly. And when I look at our
Like,
locations, like the three top ones that I'm seeing here in Connecticut, I see 5, 5, and 4.8, right? So, like, yeah, to your point, it's one of those things where now when you see the quality of, well, like, I feel, and here's one that I'm seeing. is like, I feel like the therapist I saw wasn't very vested in helping me. Like, all of a sudden you're like, oh, okay, like it, like, let's have a conversation with that therapist. Like, what happened, right? Was, you know, and again, by the way, every therapist allowed to have bad days. Everybody's allowed to have this issue. And I think in cash-based PT, the reason I say you just haven't gotten big enough, yeah, like when I saw every single patient and I charged cash, right? Yeah, we had a lot less bad reviews. But the reality of that situation is a little bit different, right? And when, you know, people can have front desk issues. People can have, so the nice part about this CRM is it, like, now what happens is, guess what? This didn't get left on Google. It got left in after the first visit, and now somebody can call them and be like, "Hey, I see what happened. I'm really sorry you felt the way. You know, this is what I would like to do is the action plan to fix it." Boom, boom, boom. Right, and then we can go through the process. And the nice part is, even if you're able to, and listen, some people might tell you to kick sand. Right, that does happen. But I think in general, it allows you, you know, the majority of these are, I love this facility. My therapist has been very pleasant. They're super knowledgeable. Like, you know, it's awesome. So I think in general, you know, if you're, you know, I think a lot of people, here's another one. Here's a great example. Not enough appointments on Saturday, right? Like, that's a great, like, okay, cool. Like, you know, now you all of a sudden say, well, okay, do we need a therapist that works on Saturday? You know what I mean? Like, you can start making adjustments. So there's some, sorry, go
So
ahead.
this is a great, so that's, I think all that's good for the pre stuff. And I
Yes.
know I have JNAP for me, much more bare bones than what a WebPT would be. But I know that you can also set up in your in that system, you know, a kind of like review after X amount of visits and tailor it. I mean, you know, for cash, I usually do about three, just mostly because of the research that says after about third visit, they kind of make their decision if they want to continue. But I think the other thing, the last thing I'll land on before, okay, what happens when you do get the bad review? Because you can do as much as you want in the pre-setup, but you're going to still get them. I think the other thing to think about is numbers. Flood the zone. You should be asking for Google reviews all the time, every
Yes.
day. It shouldn't just be a push in 1 month because some SEO expert said you should do it. Like,
Yeah.
this should be something that you do all the time so that if you do get a bad review for no good reason and Google doesn't take it down or whatever, okay, it's 1 out of 2,000 instead of 1 out of 20.
For
So
sure. And to give
that's,
you that, so I think that goes into like, what do you do for a bad review, right? And the reality is,
So let's
like,
transition to that now.
yeah,
What
I think it's
happens if
great.
somebody says, screw this guy, I hate Brian Wolf, one
Exactly.
star, boom.
Exactly. So I think
What do you do?
there's two things that I would say. So one is kind of proactive that I would say, and that's always asking for positive reviews, right? And I know we're talking about Google, but Yelp's a big one for other people. There's all sorts of different things with that. So getting great reviews, whether it's having QR codes that you can make in Canva that we have all over the clinic, whether it's just asking people, you know, one of my favorite, I'll tell this story all the time because I thought it was brilliant. It was actually like a storage place by me. I was getting a storage unit. This is years ago. The guy goes, "Hey, do you have like a good experience with us?" And I was like, "Yeah, this was great." He was like, "Hey, would you mind doing me a favor?" And he literally takes his phone, puts in the, and he goes, "Can you just register a Google review real quick?" I was like, "That was so effective, like just the way he did that." So imagine, like, if you did it on your phone, like, "Hey, can you just write me a quick Google review on here while they're lying on there on ice or, you know, sitting there chilling, whatever they're doing? Would you mind taking 3 seconds to write two sentences?" That is so effective. So for so many therapists out there, that are like, "How do I get Google? How do I ask?" Just like, just, "Hey, did you have a good experience here? How was it? How did you like it?" Right? Just something along those lines, and then asking for Google reviews. Good ones are fantastic. You'll get great reviews that way, right? So I think asking is awesome, number one. Number two is when somebody then like leaves a bad review, if you don't have a lot of good reviews, going to all the people and, like, you know, I get it. Like, one of the things that people have said to me is, well, now I kind of got to like air my dirty laundry. That's why you try and get more reviews before this happens. So then you don't have to do that, which is part of the process, and people know that's just part of the issue. But if you're got a bad review and say you only have like two or three reviews and one of them's bad, because unfortunately more people are more willing to leave bad reviews than they are to leave good reviews. That's just science. That's just how that works, unfortunately. It's a psyche of jerks. But it's one of those things where when it comes to people leaving the bad reviews, now you have one, there's two things you got to do. One, you got to address it. So you got to talk, and the way that you talk to that person is you talk to them so that basically you can clarify the situation for everybody. So a great example is the deductible one you just talked about. Be like, "Hey, totally understand that you feel like, you know, the deductible was a charge that was hidden or a fee or whatever. But just so you know, we are in network with Blue Cross Blue Shield, whatever their insurance was. We are in network with your insurance. However, some people have deductibles that are a couple thousand dollars. In your case, it was $3,000. And again, for those people talking about HIPAA, they just did a Google review. So they just blew up HIPAA. You don't have to worry about that anymore. So now all of a sudden you say, hey, in your case, you had a $3,000 deductible. We charge that price until you actually get the, so until you actually hit that number, we track that for you. Once you get that number, then we stop charging it. We just charge your typical copay. The alternative to this would be we don't charge at all, and then you get hit with a big bill after our billing company has scrubbed it and shunt, and then you get a big bill at the end in 6 months. It would be a surprise bill. There's not a great way to do it. It's actually just the way the insurance billing works. So we try and do it as accurately as possible. Something along those lines, right? Like I know, like you know what I mean? And so you want to address it so that say I'm prospect, whatever, looking at Simplify Motion PT or looking at Evolution, and I see it, I go, oh, well, this is reasonable. This makes sense. Well, so now you've had a say on that bad review, because Google's not just going to take it down just because you asked for it. And then number two is then exactly the 4.8 or the 4.9, drown it out with other good reviews. So that one review just looks like now all of a sudden there's social proof. So the person's like, all right, well, this person was kind of a jerk, right? Like whatever. This is what it is.
So what I think a few points I want to hit on there, because this was a big role. This was a big part of my role in insurance PT when I was working for someone else. And a lot of times I'm not in the clinic when this stuff happens, right? If you're the and the hard part here is like, say now, if I got a bad review, I'm everybody in my company, right? So I'm going to be the one that has to call them and say, why don't you like me? Essentially. So not terribly fun. But I think a good strategy that we used was always seeking to understand, right? And never correcting, right? So you went past it quickly because people listening to this call, they're PTs, they've been in the weeds, they know they don't need to hear that part. Like what you might say to him, but I'm sure you don't come in there and say like, what was your problem? Okay, cool. This is how you're wrong, right? So you want to say, okay, I understand that. Yeah, that must suck. Very empathetic. I understand your feelings. I understand this. I can see how that would be really frustrating. Okay. Just so I understand. Now, if you're the person away from it, right? If you're the owner or maybe it wasn't you of the two or three PTs, then you can say, look, my main job here, my main goal is to make sure this doesn't happen again. If I can fix your gripe, by all, that's what I'm going to try and do, right? But I also want to make sure this doesn't happen to the other 100 people that walk in through our door. Please help me understand what made you get to the point that you felt you need to leave a review. And then you can start saying, okay, well, it wasn't the deductible, right? It was the fact that nobody made it obvious.
Yes,
Right.
exactly.
So then you say, okay, well, there's verification. You have to know your insurance. And that's the common thing that we say to people. But you can also be like, okay, maybe I do need to circle back with the front office and say, okay, maybe add a second question. Do you understand that as we have your insurance now, you will be charged $100 for this visit? And having that second question. So it can, their feelings, while may not be rooted in the fact of insurance, can still be something that you could build on. Right. And that's I think for the insurance question, but also for the my therapist was a dick, right? Like having that conversation and then say, okay, cool. So you're saying he's a thing or she's a thing. What were the behaviors that led to that, right? Because something what everyone is like, if you're charismatic, you don't just be born charismatic. You have seven behaviors. You walk in the room, you say hi, you smile, you remember people's names. So then you can break down the behaviors. Okay, well, what makes you think John's a dick? Because I like John. We hired him. He's great. Everyone else loves him, but you don't like him. What did he do? Right. And then you can kind of break that down. And then you can go back to John and be like, okay, when a gal or guy says X, don't go into weightlifting mode, go into manual therapy mode, and then get him back to the weights. So we were always, that was our big on that call, because that's a crucial call.
Yeah, agreed. And listen, I think at the end of the day, that's the best way, right? It's like you're going to get more out of honey than you are going to do, out of anything
100%.
else. But at the end of the, so I will also tell some stories of some stuff where I went past the honey and said, fuck that person, and went after him. Because I have actually, so I will also tell some people some of those stories, because they have worked actually. Because here's the other thing
This
that
is why
really
if you and I ran the same company, there would be a lot of confrontation.
well, no, yes and no, because I think also we're aligned very much on like
We're
the,
no, I'm saying yeah, but
yes,
this is
exactly.
we would handle situations differently.
For sure, for sure.
Yeah.
So I'll also tell some alternatives because they're fun stories, and this is a podcast,
Yeah,
so
go
it is fun
for
with us. But I
it.
also think that when it comes to physical therapy in general, right? Like when you talk, like I just noticed that you have 55 great Google reviews on, right? Like that's something where it's like, that's something that's easy. Owen's clearly asking for that, right? You can also use, I just mentioned WebPT, but if you're not, like we talked about Go High Level is an easy one to add an automation for this type of thing too, right? So you could build that. What I do think is interesting, like as you kind of go through the growing process, and that's why I said if you haven't had a bad review, you're just not big enough yet. I remember one specific person left a bad review, and again, like I met her on a Saturday, which I don't usually do. It was on the weekend. I drove down. She had some insurance. I didn't know what it was. It turned out that we didn't take it. It was like something like that. And I was like, look, like the worst case scenario, it's a cash visit, which is $150. I can't remember whatever the number was. Blah, it's gonna be this. But don't worry, for the mo we take most insurances. So this shouldn't be a big deal. And again, if that's the case, it is that. And it was a pretty simple case. It was a low back pain type of thing. I went over some stuff with her. The diagnosis was pretty simple. We went through the whole process. I just showed her one exercise, which was press ups, and I was like, "You just keep doing this stuff." And then, sure enough, we didn't take her insurance, right? And we didn't take her stuff. So I know a lot of physical therapists out there are like, "Well, we went the extra mile. We went this." And it's easy to get defensive on that, right? In fact, one of the things that I actually did back in the day with this stuff was I would say, and this is what happened. I literally said to the woman, "I go." She was upset. She was like, "Look, like, for the I don't really want to pay $150. You told me it was going to take my insurance." I was like, "Well, that's not exactly what I said, but look, here's the deal, right? Like, I know
That's what
you.
they
You're at this gym. That's what
heard.
they heard. Exactly to Owen's point. That's what they heard, right? So even at that point, and I told her, listen, I'll tell you what. Don't worry about the $150. Like, you know what would be great is you're doing the exercise. How's your back feeling? Oh, it's feeling much better. Great. It's feeling much better. Cool. Could you do me a favor? Could you at least then like just leave me a great Google review and I'll wipe the 150. I won't do that." So guess what ended up happening? Yeah, she wrote that Google review all right, and then she wrote a 1-star review basically talking about the whole thing around that piece. And I was pissed. I was pissed. So guess what? I was like, she was like, "Well, you told me now I don't have to pay the 150." I go, "No, you're paying that 150. I'll send your ass to collections." I was like, "That's what's gonna happen." So now I was like, "You're gonna pay." I was like, "Or you
So
could
your
take it
credit score
down."
is now.
So exactly, I was like, "Or you could take it down." And so you can like the one thing I will say about negative Google reviews, because I think in the moment it's very visceral. It's like, "Fuck, these suck." But the reality is that is the bullet that they now have used. They really can't use another bullet, right? They can't. And so the reality is like,
Their insurance company isn't going to pick up their phone call, right?
exactly,
You know,
exactly.
we're obviously we can't be
Yeah,
excusing everything. So yeah, that's the
exactly.
one thing they're going to throw.
And so for those people who've got the bad review and are thinking, "Oh my God, what am I going to do? Listen to this." Don't worry, it's not the end of the world. You will live. Your practice will live. It sucks. I totally feel you. So it does happen. So like these things have happened, and again, we've scaled and grown our businesses irregardless of them. They happen. I did have one other funny one time where someone went. He was like going all over the internet, just like complaining about stuff that wasn't true, and I like called him. Because I finally escalated. Everybody was calling, everybody was talking to him, and he wouldn't take enough. And he kept going on all these Facebook groups and commenting on our posts on Instagram, like he was going overboard. And finally, I called him. And I go, "All right, let me explain to you how this works." And same thing, it was the deductible, blah, blah. And he was like, "It shouldn't be this. It should be that." I got it off the AMA website. I was like, "The AMA is not even like a physical therapy website. That's the medical website." I was like, "You're not even getting your information correct." And so this is somebody who just wanted to be right. And what I did do is I was like, there is a certain level now you've hit where now we're in the slander harassment aspect. I was like, so now you got to figure out if you want to talk to my lawyers or not. I was like, so just, and by the way, maybe you listen to this podcast, hopefully not. That wasn't my plan. My plan was not to do it. I was just pissed and I was ready to be like, I'm going after her. Funny enough, he took everything down. So I was
Well,
like,
yeah,
I want,
but to be fair, there is slander laws for that reason.
for sure.
Like,
And I saw one for the good guys, right? So like, there are those things
yeah.
out there. If someone is badgering you, harassing you, you can also think about that as well. But you got to be ready to take it to the point of like lawyering
Yeah.
up and getting a letter written and blah, blah, blah. Like, and again, like you got to have evidence. So like this was somebody who was like commenting. When he got me was when we were putting up organic posts on Instagram, and he was like commenting on them with his
Yeah.
reviews. And I was like, all right, chief. That's enough. And like that's what
Yeah.
we did. And so essentially just I think you nailed it, Owen. A lot of people just want to be heard, right? So a lot of people want to be heard. And I'll say, like, listen, I'm listening to you, I'm hearing you. Like, how can I fix this? Because I'm a small business. I know you don't want to actually hurt me. Like you're something happened. Like, what can I do to help you? And
Yeah.
unfortunately, like there are gonna be times where people aren't gonna give a shit and they're still gonna come after you and do that. So those are just some of the funny ways that I've also dealt with
Yeah.
it. So it's kind of to keep it a little bit lighter, but to those people who have them, the idea is to do exactly what Owen said, is take the higher road and try and rectify it, try and fix it. Talk to your future client who's going to read that review and talk to that person. And then also just as a good, business practice, get great Google reviews. Always going to be helpful to do that as well.
Well, and that's it. It is, although I will say those conversations are a lot more fun than the me listening to them on the phone for 20 minutes saying, "Oh, I understand your pain."
For sure.
Even though you have no idea how to exist in a social structure, but so yeah, and I think that's the thing. And some of the things just to kind of tie up there is that, yeah, if they might say, "Look, dude, I don't want to pay this, and I feel like I didn't get the service that even my insurance should tell me I have to pay for." That's where you, as the owner, making that call is nice, because you can say, "Look, we're just not going to collect this, or we're just not going to do whatever." You don't want to put maybe a manager or somebody who doesn't have that authority in that position, because the patient wants a resolution on that phone call. They've already spent their time. Right. They've
Yes.
already used that time up. So as best you can as the owner, this becomes a priority, and a pretty like within the hour or within the half day priority once you realize it. Because people can take it down, and remember, they're pissed, but if you address it right away, they're not going to stay pissed at you for a long time.
Yeah.
So that's where that comes in. And I think the other thing to think about too, especially if you're taking insurance where a lot of the referrals are coming from an affiliate, so like a doctor's office or a community group or whatever, you really want to make sure you follow up with that referral source,
For
right? And
sure.
you want to say, even if it's just something where they don't write a review, but they're like, "You guys are dicks, I'm never coming back," right? You want to make sure you call, because I've seen way too many PTs that don't do this. And I'll
Yeah.
tell you, as someone who always had to make that call, 99 times out of 100, you say the patient name and the front desk person's like, "Oh God,
No,
okay. Yep,
exactly.
tell me." Yeah, okay,
Exactly.
fine. And you are going to strengthen that bridge with them, because they're going to say, "Look, this place can even handle this psycho,"
Yeah.
right? And they are doing the due diligence to help out and make sure that I don't get blindsided by a shitty call. Thank you so much. I'm going to send you more people so I don't have to deal with that.
Yeah.
Now you might get more of their psychos, which isn't great,
I know. That's
but
actually one thing I wanted to touch on too, is I think, like I said, the other reason for why I tell the stories around like the boundary side, I think it's also important to draw those boundaries for certain patients,
yeah,
right?
you
Like,
have to get your therapist back, man. There are some times where you're just like, "Screw you, buddy. Like, I'm
because
not going
I,
to yell at my therapist for you."
yeah, well, and I had one, I had it happen where, a one of my, I'll never forget, I lost respect for one of my bosses who chewed me out, being like, I'm looking at this program. Why did you do it this way? And I was like, what are you doing right now? Like, and then she was like, I took her on my schedule and blah, blah, blah. And they went back to the doctor and like chewed me out for it. And I'd been working there for a few months and I never respected that person again for that. And
That's
so to me,
laziness.
it's
That
total
is
laziness.
laziness. They did
Yes.
not go through that process of, "Let me
Yeah.
discover what's going on. Let me," and then think, "Okay, how do I communicate this to a
Yes.
PT who is going to get blindsided?" That's a lazy manager.
100%. And that's where, when you think about it, it's one of those perspectives to most people. Like, that's where a bad review can actually become catastrophic, is internally in your culture, right?
Yeah,
So the
if you start
reality
bitching
is,
out your therapist for it, like, come
yeah,
on, man. Your
exactly.
entire thing should be, "How do I protect my guys? How do I
Yeah.
keep this happy?" And if it becomes ha bad review or protect my guys every
For
time.
sure, for sure. And I think that's a big part of that, right? It's like, how do you continue to grow your practice? How do you continue to build? And how do you kind of make sure that, like, your culture doesn't get rocked by something like that? that's where it's like you want to squash it as soon as possible. And again, like some of the people within the organization, within our organization, will try and squash it. But the reality is, like, some people just want to complain because they just want to complain. And that's what's going to happen. You know what I mean? That one I told about where I had to, like, the harassment, he just wanted to talk to me. He wanted to get me. That was his goal. His goal was, I am going to get Brian on the phone. I want an owner to call me because I'm right and they're wrong and nobody else is going to tell me. And then finally, he got me on the phone and he didn't like what I had to say. And then all of a sudden, he got the bull by the horns and went, oh shit, and backed off. That does happen. And at the end of the day, like for most of these reviews, like the thing that I have to, th that I think about all the time is the amount of money and time that I spent on that particular call with my time might not have been worth just like, okay, just give him the money back. But the bigger thing on that front as well is it's not good to just be like, I'm not saying have the Amazon approach, right? Where it's just give your money back, give the money back, give the money back. That's also not good because the aspect of it is now your staff will default to that. And now you kind of don't have their back and you're like, oh, just give them their money back or blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden they think, oh, that's a easy default is just to like have the Amazon view. I tell Bill all the time, I go, listen, we're not Amazon. We're a small business. Like you come in, you get the service, you got to pay for the service. I'm sorry. It's like, hey, but I've been coming here for years. Can you waive that $1,000 that I owe? I'm sorry, that's just not how this works, right? Like I can make it into payment plans. I can do this. We can massage it any way you need me to. But at the end of the day, like it's also important for us to make sure we're drawing that in the lines as well. So nevertheless, I think it's important to make sure that you're also standing your ground and standing up for yourself also. So if you're somebody who got a bad review, don't take it personally. Just understand the hurt and the why as to why that person wrote that. Do your best to resolve it, but also like follow your gut a little bit. Like if someone's trying to like railroad you, just like also tell them to fuck off too. Like that's also okay. Because
I agree.
to Owen's point, imagine the doctor who's like, oh man, that person sucks. Like there was one woman who was like, I know a lot of people in town, and one of my other members goes, we know who all the Karens are, right? Like it's like the reality of the situation is that person is probably well known in town for being an asshole too, right? So like that's the reality of what can happen, and it's frustrating. It sucks in the moment. I hate dealing with it, just like I'm sure everybody else listening to this hates dealing with it. So I thought it would be a good topic for us to chat about
The
because
best defense is a good offense.
for sure, get those
Everybody
Google.
gets a Google review.
Get the good one.
Everybody goes
Yes.
like, come on, run some, sweeps. I don't know what Google's laws are when it comes to the
Yeah.
massive stuff, but do the basics of, hey, did you like what we had to do? Awesome. Here's that.
For
That's what
sure.
it comes down to. And I mean, yeah, also obviously don't have a crappy company, but we hope anyone listening to this doesn't have a crappy
Exactly.
company because they're listening to a PT business podcast on the ride. So,
Exactly.
all right. With that, Brian, I'm good. You got anything to add?
No, man, that's it. Good stuff.
Cool. All right.
Cool.
See
All right.
ya.
See you, man.